have quest in the service today. That gives me a chance. Why factor in the service today? Quest is gone, is it? Oh, okay. Thanks. Thank you. My name is Gideon Nash, in case anyone is wondering who this tall person is. That's me, Gideon Nash. Today I'm here to bring the word of God to you and for us to look at the reading that was read a short while ago by Kemi Beautifully. And we want to hear from the heart of God. This morning I was just thinking and mulling over what to say. Some of the things that came through my mind were some of the things that I've done in the course of the week. Visited people in the hospitals, been to see other people, done other things. And what seemed to come out for me is that everybody's doing their bit for humanity. And for us, as we come to church today, church should also give us hope for living. Hallelujah. Church should give us hope for living. It's not just a social gathering, which is good to gather here socially. But I'm sure people still also do gather on the parks for social activities and all sorts of things. But if we are here, we're not here as a routine, or maybe our fathers did that and we grew up going to church. But church is where God is, and God gives us hope. So today we're going to look at Matthew chapter 25, verse 31 to the end, which is 46. And we bring another verse in. Jesus said something in verse 34, said, "When you do it for others, you do it for me." When church people do things for others, verse 40, sorry, when church people do things for others, they do it for the Lord. For whatever you did for one of these, least of these brothers of mine, you did it for me. It makes sense for Jesus to say that. And the reason being, he told three parables in this chapter. That means stories, if you want to know what parables are. And he told these stories to remind his disciples that God expects vigilance. He expects accountability and righteousness from his followers. Righteousness meaning doing what is right if you are a follower of Jesus. He stressed that a time will come when we will be accountable to God for all that we have done or neglected to do here on this earth. So there's a time of accountability. Sometimes people don't believe these days because they think, oh, there's a lot of knowledge and education. We're still learning, aren't we? But God has a solution. Where learning stops, God continues. Where science stops, God continues. Where psychology stops, God continues. Where spiritually stop, God continues. Hallelujah. For me, God is real. I cannot touch, I cannot feel. But when I look through his word and I apply it in my life, it works for me. And I am not the only one, but millions of people have looked into the word of God, the Bible, and taken the words and applied into their lives, and it works for them. Many people who don't believe in God, sometimes when they're dying, then they're asking for a vicar to come and pray for them. And I'm thinking, why do you need a vicar now? You didn't believe in God. And then when they die, they take them to church. And the vicar will say wonderful things about them. Why now? When you never believe in him whilst you're alive. So what we do here whilst we are on earth, one day we'll give an account to God for this. The urgency of this third parable that has been read for us brings out two themes that we want to look into today. That good news to the poor. God means good news to the poor. Hallelujah. God means good news to the poor. And what you do here on earth will be done in heaven. So, as we read, the king replied and then said, that I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you do it for me. Why would Jesus Christ say this at all? Why would this mean anything? Today is shoebox celebration. That is why I want to preach this message to you. That means today we want to do good to the poor. That is why I want to speak to you this way. Good news to the poor. We are to preach good news to the poor. But who are the poor? Are they the beggars we see at the train station? I am of the view, maybe I'm prejudiced, that if you live in the United Kingdom, you should not be poor. I must be prejudiced. Poor is relative. Because if you've seen a poor man in Jamaica or a poor man in Ghana or Nigeria or some other parts of the world, then sometimes you see what poverty is like. Do you understand that? There is no safety net for them in their countries. What is poverty to you? Maybe poverty to you to somebody who is begging, who has not much. But the poor is someone who is needy, needing something to make them whole. A poor is the person who is needing something to make them whole. It could be somebody who at the moment is distressed and needing something to make him or her whole. It could be somebody who is depressed right now. That means the person is devoid of what you and me would normally have, peace of mind or happiness or joy. That person is poor. So it is good news to the poor today, Jesus Christ is telling us. It's good news to the poor. Because when you look at the Bible from Luke chapter 4, verse 14 onward, he said, the Spirit of the living God is upon me, quoting from the book of Isaiah chapter 61, that I have come to preach good news to the poor. I have come to preach good news to the poor, to get them out of prison, to set them free from all that which is oppressing them. The poor is those who mourn. Because they've lost something. Something that is priceless to them. They will not have that again. They've lost it forever. And they are distressed. They are emotionally struggling with themselves. And the Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 5 that blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. And sometimes some people who are followers of Jesus Christ are poor in the spirit. That means they are poor, looking for something to lift their spirits up. They are poor, looking for something to bring hope and joy to them. And these people should find hope in the kingdom of God. But God will work with you. The message of the gospel is the power of salvation to get people out of situations that will otherwise harm or destroy them. And this gospel sets anyone who believes free. This gospel, we should not be afraid to preach it. This gospel, we should not be shy to preach it. For Paul, the apostle, wrote in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, he says this, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to anyone who believes. Anyone who believes, first to the Jew and then to the Gentile. Anyone who believes, who is of who is somebody who has asked Jesus Christ to be his forgiver and leader, a Christian, somebody who believes in Christ, first salvation is to you. That means anything that will harm you to make you poor or impoverished in any aspect of your life, Jesus says that he is ready to get you out of that situation. Say amen to that. The gospel is to get people out of various forms of poverty, whether it is financial poverty, whether it's emotional poverty, whether it's psychological poverty, whether it's educational poverty. The gospel is to get you out of that. And as I say educational poverty, you may be thinking, how can that be? Will you believe that education came through people who believed in God, even in our country? Will you believe that the top universities in our country, Cambridge and Oxford, was started by Christian people, priests, was started as a school for priests, to educate priests, and they told they want to be excellent, and they told that think beyond the box, go into science, go into literature, go into everything. This is a fact because I've been there myself. And that's historical facts that you have to check for yourself. The gospel brings education freedom. If you go to Oxford and Cambridge, every college has a church attached to it. You think it was just done by heart? It was designed to bring God and good news to the poor. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So if you meet smart people trying to say, we don't believe in God, you see how poor they are? They forgot where it came from. God wants us to be happy. It is never God's intention to see people sitting in poverty and struggling. It is never God's intention to see people crying all the time, looking for help, or helpless and looking for consolation. It's never God's intention. Sometimes human beings are the cause of these problems. Don't blame only the rich people. Some people who are not rich equally contribute to that. Don't blame the church. Sometimes unchurched people contribute to that. But also, there is a spiritual force that contributes to some of these hardship in our world. God's intention is good news to the poor. God wants to see his people happy. It does not glorify God when some people are oppressed, depressed, mourning, hungry, naked, sick, or in prison. That is why Jesus said, I was in prison. Bring me back to verse 34 for me, Liz. See, when that is what Jesus Christ said, something like, then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father. Take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of this world. Why will he say that? That God could prepare a kingdom for us. A kingdom where the sick will be healed. A kingdom where the oppressed will be set free. A kingdom where the poor will be fed. A kingdom where there will be no prisoners. You understand that? A kingdom that there will be no prisons? Really? Yes. God prepared for us a kingdom where there will be no prisons. God prepared for us a kingdom where people will have clothes to wear. God prepared for us that people who are blind will see. So if these things are happening right now, if you take the human element of it, sometimes medication cannot even cure us to the end of it. Sometimes medication can do so much, and we thank God for that. But it gets to a point that medication can't do nothing. Then you ask yourself, is it by nature? Because people who don't believe God said, oh, this is nature. There's nothing like nature or natural causes. Sickness is not natural causes. Do you know that? It took the people of Israel to be in slavery before they recognized or discovered what sickness was. So you think about how many years, probably millions of years before they knew sickness. So sometimes there is an enemy that fights God's people. There's an enemy that fights the things that come to oppress and depress and put us down and make us distressed and unhappy. There are things behind this, and I want you to begin to think about it. Oh, that the followers of Jesus Christ will be like Peter and his colleagues in Acts chapter 4, 29 to 30, when they said to God, and they prayed and said, Lord, grant that by our hands signs and wonders will be accomplished among your people, by our hands. Today, if we are here to bring shoeboxes to people, remember, if you don't do it by your hands, God is not going to put it through the roof. Neither would the government just throw it on the street for the people far away country and the people sometimes in our country to get these things. By our hands, by the hands of the people who believe in God, who are followers of Jesus, God is going to bring good news to the poor. So if someone is not happy and depressed, by the hands of God's people, we should bring good news to them. If somebody is sick, by the hands of God's people, we should bring good news to them. We have to pray to this God, this mighty God, who is able to transcend human understanding, who is able to transcend medication, who is able to transcend supernatural powers, to come and intervene and to bring joy to people. Hallelujah. Yes, by our hands. That means we doing the act and God backing us up by his Holy Spirit. God wants to see compassion among his people when they encounter such situations of poverty and neediness. Many times we read Jesus was moved by compassion. Jesus healed people by compassion. Jesus fed people who were hungry by compassion. Because if you read the account of Mark 16, when Jesus Christ was actually feeding 5,000 people and wrought a miracle, you know what happened? The Bible says that when he saw many people, when they were so hungry and they've hung around him all day, he was moved by compassion and told the disciples, do something about it. And they look at their own inadequacy and said, how can we, not even a whole day's meal from, I mean, probably this, all the shops are shut. We couldn't feed them. But Jesus Christ said, what have you got? The little that you've got, let me do something with it. And he blessed it. And the Bible tells us that after he's done that, what happened? It multiplied by the hand. So imagine giving a loaf of bread into the disciples and say, give it to them. I'll be looking at them thinking, is this man right in his head? Has he seen that many people out there and he want me to do that? But amazingly, when they took the faith by their hand and started breaking, I'm sure he would have said, break enough for them to eat. And I'm sure a loaf of bread, it probably if I'm really hungry, I can eat half of it. But I said, break enough for them. And they started breaking it. And it fed 5,000 men, not even counting women and children. And more often, when there's a gathering, there are more women than men. I don't know why. So there must be probably double that. I don't know, but a lot more than 5,000. And he fed them. Now, some people discount this fact. This thing is true. But the question is, if you believe that Jesus Christ is a historical fact, then you have no problem. Is it? Because it's the same Jesus Christ who did this. So if Jesus Christ is a historical fact, then his miracles are historical fact. They are not fake news. Are you with me? They are historical facts. And if God can do such miracles by our hands, and he has done that before, the same God that we worship, then by our hands he will do the same. Today, by your hand, you are bringing these boxes to help and to put smile on people's faces. By our hands, we can do more. Jesus was sent by God to bring good news of the kingdom to the poor. The resurrection message is, as the Father has sent me, so I send you, in John chapter 20, verse 21 to 22. The right thing to do is to respond to such neediness. And right now, some people in faraway lands, even in our country, even in our church, are in places of neediness, needing help, needing a hand to put smiles in their faces. And for us, as people of faith, our role is to rise to the challenge. is to rise to the challenge. If you read the Bible, you can see that in the early church, there was no needy person in the Bible. These words were specifically written. There was no needy person in the church. Acts chapter 4. Because anyone who had need was met. Church people bring hope to the nations. Church people bring hope to the masses. Church people bring hope to the people. Church people bring hope and relief to their own. Hallelujah. So there should be no one sitting in this church that will be suffering and should not be helped. There should be no one in this church that is crying and should not have their tears wiped away by somebody in this church. Hallelujah. That means we should look out for each other and bring good news to the poor. Bring good news to the poor. God wants everyone to be happy. People will say, oh, but are you sure? I am 100% sure. Because he came to destroy the works of the evil one. He came to set the captives free. If he did not want people happy, why would he heal anyway? When somebody loses somebody, they're crying in pain, emotionally distressed. And Jesus come, and more than once, more than twice, more than three times, he raised some people from the dead. How happy moment that could be. I'll be so happy if my mom and my dad today are raised from the dead and are sitting here and holding their sticks and watching my face. I'll be so happy. Seriously. I don't know about you. So that is what Jesus is for. The whole idea of what he did was to bring good news, to bring happiness to people. So anything that is contrary to that is contrary to the agenda of God's kingdom. Now in our reading today, looking at verse 34, as we see it, the king will say that those who are onto the king will say to those on the right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. The fact that there is a kingdom means that there is a king somewhere. Or to put it this way, the fact that there's a king, the king said, the fact that there's a king means that there's a kingdom somewhere, right? So if there is a king in this passage, then we are talking about kingdoms. In fact, in the same verse, he said, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of this world. So the kingdom God has prepared for us since the creation of this world is for you to be happy. It's for the poor to be relieved. It's for the neediness, those who are in needy situations to be set free. From the foundations of the earth, that is God's plan. So when you see some of the challenges in this world, it is not God. Sometimes people are trained or have made their mind, if there is God in this world, where is that storm happening? If God is in this world, where is that, rain falling? Where is that fire outbreak in this country and that country? If God is around, why are there so many wars? You know what? It shows how ignorant you are, if that is your message. God's message that from the foundations of this world, he did that. And of a truth, sometimes some of these acts of nature are even stirred by the enemy. Will you believe that? I don't want to digress. Another time I'll preach on that. So I just want you to know that it is not God's agenda to do these things. God is in the habit of setting us free. God is in the habit of making us whole. And if there is a king, there's a kingdom. And in that kingdom, we know that the kingdom of God is to bring relief. There's kind of a way of behavior in each kingdom. When we come to United Kingdom, we behave a certain way, right? I don't want you to tell me how we behave. But we behave certain ways. And if you go to other countries, they behave differently from the way we behave. They also behave certain ways. It doesn't mean that our way is better than them, but they behave differently. So once you get there, or probably even when you hear them speak, you can tell this person is either Irish. Well, Irish, some of them are United Kingdom, half of them. The rest, I don't know where they are. But here we are. They are in Europe. They are Europeans. So here we are. That whatever we say is that every kingdom has a code of behavior. And in our kingdom, we should have that code of behavior of setting the captives free and relieving the poor. And this will be done by the hand of the people of God. Hallelujah. God is not going to come from the heavens to do it, but it will be done by you. And as you do them, God will confirm your actions with signs and wonders and relief for people. Hallelujah. So Samaritan Purse, that is the organization, the charity that actually organizes this shoebox. Do you know they are Christian people? They are Christian people, and they spread that message throughout the whole world. And do you know that charity work actually started with the church and not with the British government or any other government? So most of the biggest charities in the world and most of the biggest charities in this country that go all over the place were started by Christian people. And some of them still have Christian eaters. We have a message for the poor, to bring relief to the poor. Today when you go to war zones and you look for the charities that are bringing relief, most of them are Christian charities. Whether in Muslim lands or African lands or wherever lands, they are Christian people. That is our heritage. That is our work. Because these are the kingdom things that we have to bring on this earth. So we read in Matthew chapter 6 verse 10, the Bible said, "Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven." That means when we do the works of God, the heavens will affirm it. Because in heaven, there's no sickness. In heaven, there's no death. In heaven, there's no depression. In heaven, there's no loneliness. There's no nakedness. There's no stress. So if the things of heaven need to come down, that means God wants those things to be applied here on this earth by his people. So we have to do something, and God will back it up for us. Amen. How many minutes have I got? Okay, let me press on. I'm sure it will come. They will tell me when. So here we are. So what you do here on earth is done in heaven. The urgency and the consequences of not doing it to others, what Christ will do, is evident in the destiny of those referred to as goats. If we do not do what God wants us to do, or what Jesus Christ would have done if he was here on this earth, then we are the type that is seen as goats. Yeah? Go out. G-O-A-T. A stubborn animal. Do you know that? A smart animal, but very stubborn. Compared to sheep. Sheep doesn't look to be that too smart. They just want to eat and do the right things. But goats are just too smart. If you've seen a little goat and you're chasing it, you wait until you're chasing it and it just break, and then you just walk past and you'll be in trouble. Smart animals. Don't let us not be too smart and do what seems right in our own eyes. If we do nothing, we leave room for Satan to dominate, bind, and keep people where they are without hope. If Christian people do nothing, hear it again, we give room for the enemy, Satan, to dominate and to mess people up and leave them without hope. We have to do something. We have to do something. Because the Bible is telling us that a king will say to those on his right, I'm repeating that so that it will get into your head time and time again, and it's been left on the screen for you. Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the foundations of this earth. So if we do something, then that is our inheritance. Our inheritance is to do the things that Jesus Christ will do. And why will he say that? He said it's because In Romans 14, 7, it says that for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking alone, but of righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Spirit. That means peace, joy by the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. You see, the kingdom of God is not just sitting down and eating alone, not just coming to church and looking for hospitality alone, but it's about something else. It's about bringing peace to people who need peace. It's about bringing joy to people who need joy. It's about doing the right things. Righteousness means doing the right things by the power of the Holy Spirit. These things, when we do it back by the Spirit of God, then we dismantle the kingdom of the enemy and its works. Because all these things that Jesus Christ was quite upset about that people did not do, it means that as long as they leave it undone, people suffer. As long as they don't do these things, people live in poverty. As long as they don't do these things, people live in neediness. So he says, church, arise and do something about situations like that. Amen. The king expects that when we visit the poor, we visit the prisoners, we visit the sick, we clothe the naked, we help the blind, we bring salvation and deliverance to them. Just as some people need peace in their lives and in their homes right now, God expects us to bring that. Because if it is not there, then the enemy is taking the right place that he ought to mess people up. But we don't want that. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you? I'm reading from verse 37. When did we see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and gave you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in? Or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you ill or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did it for me. You did it for me. And today I'm so grateful to God that you guys have chosen to bring shoeboxes. And as you've chosen to bring shoeboxes, remember, these are the brothers and sisters and children of God that you are doing it for. And as you do the right things, these are acts of righteousness. It brings relief. And Samaritan Purse will not only take these boxes, which make sure that please you've actually registered online to pay the delivery cost, which is only about £3, right? £5. Thank you. Tells me that somebody did it for me. But I paid for it, remember. And that is the truth. So, £5. £5 to carry a box from all this place to, say, Lithuania, to India, to Liberia, and to other parts of the world. £5. Even if you did door to door, the list would be £25. Do you know that? Jenny, you know how much it costs to send a barrel home? You sure you've sent one lately? Thank you. So that nearly caught her unawares. So it costs a lot of money to send something away. And £5 is going to make a difference in somebody's life. And £5, Samaritan Purse will also add a booklet that explains the good news of the kingdom to them. That explains the love of Jesus Christ to them. And that is very helpful. And a lot of children, not only do they get these goodies that goes to them, but also get to hear about Jesus for the first time. They hear about Jesus for the first time. So, coming back to wrap this message up, I just tell it to meet the need of the day. To tell you that Jesus Christ once went to the temple, and as his custom, he was handed a book to read. Which is, Luke chapter 4. He read Luke chapter 4, verse 14 to 21. And when he read it, the Bible said, he said, the Spirit of the living God is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor, to set the captives free, to declare the acceptable year of the Lord. That means what is acceptable before God. and to bring relief to anyone who's distressed and mourning. And after he's finished, just before he was sitting down in verse 21, it says, "For what I have told you today, this scripture is fulfilled in your own hearing." Hallelujah. Today, this scripture is being fulfilled in our own hearing as we bring these things to the poor. But then I just want you to extend it to people who are also suffering in your own church. It may not be financial suffering. It may be emotional suffering. It may be loneliness. It may be pressures in their homes. Maybe their marriage. Maybe their relationship. Maybe their children. And they talk to you and you hear it. Is this scripture being fulfilled in your own ears today to bring good news to the poor? What will you do about a situation like this? Are you going to say, "Oh, I'm not the pastor, so I can't do anything"? When Jesus Christ was talking, he wasn't talking to pastors. He was talking to his followers. And when Peter was praying, he said, "God, help us that by our hand we will do that." And when Jesus Christ was speaking in this passage, who was he talking to? People who had gathered around him. They were ordinary people, educated people, smart guys, fishermen, farmers, unemployed guys, maimed and ill, people who were ill. He was saying that as you do it for one of these people, you do it for me. So who do you know in your church right now? Do you know of someone who is blind, meaning not seeing what is going on around him? Sometimes you get a bit confused about the turmoil that's going around you. Sometimes people are so distressed and confused and they need help. Are you hearing their cries? Are you hearing? Are you phoning them to find out? Are you picking that telephone and pray over that telephone and say, "In the name of Jesus, I bring the kingdom of God into your life and I want your situation to change," because that is what the Bible says. Are you doing that? And if somebody said, "I'm hungry, I don't have food to eat," are you willing to go to wherever your favorite shop is to do some grocery shopping and give it to that person? I thank you all for those of you who every now and then do some shopping and come and put it in the barrel at the back. Real people need them, and real people eat them. I promise you, I don't take them home, because God has blessed me with at least enough to eat. But if I have to need it, I will not shy away from coming to say, "You know what, give me some of those food in that barrel so I can eat." Are you willing to meet the needs of your own people? Real people need real help. It's good news to the poor. What Christ will do. Do you know of someone who is oppressed or mourning and needing to be set free? You see, God did not ask us to be mourning forever. This is not being very simplistic. I tell you what, my parents died a long, long time ago, some decades ago. And sometimes I sit down and I grieve. At least one I'm very, very aware of. 12 years ago, I lost my brother in America, and I went down to bury him. And sometimes the pain is still so raw. 12 years and you're a vicar? Why don't you get over it? Yes, it's so easy said than done. But sometimes all that I need is for somebody to come and put a hand around me and say, "You know what, I want to pray for you. There's good news for the poor." Amen. It's good news for the poor. One thing I don't do is to sit down every day, wake up and cry and become an emotional bankrupt. But at least every now and then it flashes through my mind and I say, "God, heal me. God, please heal me." And I'm sure there are people who are sitting there and say, "God, you know what? I want you to heal me emotionally. I want you to heal me psychologically. I want you to heal me because I'm hurt." Sometimes people are saying, "God, you know what? Who will take me out of this marriage mess?" The easiest solution is to get up and go, but sometimes it's not that easy to get up and go. And you need someone to come alongside you, to pray with you, just to bring peace to your heart. And are you doing that? As you do it to one of these people, you're doing it for me. Church is to bring hope. Church is to bring relief. Church is not just for us to come and clap and be happy with ourselves and become so isolated and weird. Church is for us to be real with real people in real life, because Jesus Christ has given us the power. Amen. We're going to pray. Wherever you are, I don't know what you have heard today. I don't know what message has spoken to you. But I want you to pray for yourself that God give me the spirit of compassion and be moved by events around me. Pray that you not wait until you hear a disaster somewhere before you go to your bank and take some money and give it out to help somebody. I want you to pray for yourself again and take advantage of what God is saying. Pray that you can hear the voice of Jesus. Pray that you hear the voice of people crying. Pray that you hear the voice of people who are in need. Some are open to verbalize how they feel and what they are going through. Some too are private and they will not say anything. Some too, they don't even have the strength to say anything to you. You know what? God wants to set them free. Do you know somebody that way? In your prayer time right now, will you mention that person by name and pray and ask God to get it? It could be your sister, it could be your brother, it could be your auntie, it could be your friend, it could be somebody you know just in this church. It could be your son, your daughter, who's going out of faith or gone out of faith. Or somebody who is just rebelling in the home. Will not listen to the parent that even brought them forth and nursed them into maturity. Please, if you know somebody right now, I want you to pray and ask God that, God, bring your kingdom come. Let your kingdom come. Bring relief to the poor. Bring relief to the poor. Bring relief to the poor. Please keep praying. Don't let go. God will hear you. Surely, that is what He specializes in, to hear His people, so that they will know and be confident that they have a living God. Please talk to God right now. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. It's Matthew 5:3-4 says. Do you know somebody who is mourning right now? Are you going to put your hand on the person's shoulder and say, I understand, I share your pain? It is not God's agenda to be for you to be distressed that way. And I'm praying for you that you be relieved, that you be set free, that you will find consolation in God. Please, do you know somebody who is sick that needs healing? Today, let us work the works of God. And just as I'm going to sit down, I'd like to pray one more prayer. If you are here today and all what we're telling you doesn't make any sense, or maybe it has made some sense, but you don't know how to work out with it, and you don't know this Jesus as your forgiver and leader. And that you haven't given him the chance in your life for him to lead you and give you a living hope, so that you would not be one of the goats, but you'll be one of the recipient of God's salvation. Then today I want you to pray this prayer with me. Dear Jesus, I'm sorry that all these years I have not taken serious note of what you came here to do. Today I want to acknowledge you for the first time in my life as my leader and forgiver. I've gone my own way and done many things, some foolish, some I'm sorry for, most I regret. Given the opportunity, I'll do different. But today, my opportunity is here. Forgive me. Wash away my past. Wash away my wrongdoings. And make me whole. And today I want to accept Jesus Christ and His Holy Spirit to come and live in me, to transform my life and make me a follower of Jesus. Today I lay my mask clearly before the cross of Jesus. And I thank you for the cross that you died to save me. I thank you in Jesus' name. Now I just pray to end this service. This preaching I meant. I'm praying for you right now. And I'm praying for the Spirit of God, the Spirit that set people free from poverty, the Spirit of the living God that has anointed me to preach good news to the poor, today to set captives free, anyone that is bound by any form of oppression, any form of sin, any form of addiction, any form of pain and grief, any form of illness and disease. Today I set you free in the name of Jesus. Today I ask for your freedom and I say receive it in the name of Jesus. I pray based on the authority invested in me by the word of God and by the Holy Spirit, receive your healing, receive your healing, receive your healing in the name of Jesus. Emotional healing, psychological healing, spiritual healing, physical healing in the name of Jesus. Father God, I pray relief for those who are under pressure in their homes, in the name of Jesus. Those who are under pressure in their marriages, I set them free. I bring relief. I bring relief in Jesus' name. For those who are struggling with financial difficulties today, oh God, this is good news for the poor. I pray that, Father God, you bring relief, that the church will rise and, Father God, stand up and bring relief. That, Father God, where there's any money anywhere that they need, oh God, you will yourself will cut the tapes and, Father God, make sure that they have what is due to them according to our social system. In the mighty name of Jesus, Father God, I pray for anyone who is imprisoned by anything that is shackling them, that is troubling them. I pray for relief and release. In Jesus' name. Father, today is good news to the poor. Good news to the poor in the name of Jesus. Today I want to declare the acceptable year of the Lord. That means today what is acceptable before God is for these people to be free in the name of Jesus. Father, today I want to declare a year of jubilee. That means the time for them to be happy again. There are some here who have not been happy for a long, long time. Not because of your own doing, but because of your surroundings. Today, I declare happiness for you. I set you free from the shackles of unhappiness. In Jesus' name, I set you free from all form of oppression that is holding you back. In the name of Jesus Christ. Father, I thank you for your word. Father, today this scripture has been performed in our own ears. Confirm your words with signs and wonders and miracles in Jesus' name. Amen.